And then I'll be carrying it around in my pocket, and then Bob will be like, I can't do anything, Carolyn. And Carolyn's going to be yelling out of the box, but Corbin's got me trapped in this box. Why did you call him an idiot, Bob? You fucked up, man. I mean, what? After you pay for your new mailbox or your new, if they have those other style of mailbox, all your neighbors' mailboxes. but anyway.
So I'm trying to play Jocko. I'm trying to Jocko Homo.
Okay.
I'm trying to have it come through.
Okay.
I don't know why it's erratic. So we just played something, so why can't I play this? So sound is up.
Last time you
sound
had
check is
something.
On.
Soundflower.
Oh, look at that! There's always
Skype.
Something. The Skype is blocked up. So this is Jocko Homo. By Devo.
And you put the lyrics.
Yeah.
These are the lyrics.
Yeah.
On chat.
Yep. Yeah.
Thank you.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. So do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You guys talk for 2 minutes. Put me on mute for 2 minutes, and I'll be right back. I don't want noise to interfere with the conversation.
Okay. All right. Okay. So Phil says, I haven't heard that song for 37 years. Great fun. Yes, it's been a long time since I heard that. I first saw that was played by Matt Groening. In Los Angeles in November 77, we came home from a Zappa concert. Any big book that lists all the Zappa concerts by date, we can figure out the exact date of that one in the Pauley Pavilion on the UCLA campus. And Madeline's wondering if they said IUD. I do not see IUD in the lyrics. Just look up Jocko Homo, J-O-C-K-O-H-O-M-O. And see the lyrics, Devo, D-E-V-O. Sounded like they were saying we are evil. No, they're saying we are Devo, devolution. So they tell us that we lost our tails, evolving up from little snails. I say it's all just wind and sails. Are we not men? We are Devo. Are we not men? D-E-V-O. We're pinheads now. We are not whole. We're pinheads all. Jocko Homo, are we not men? We are Devo. Are we not men? D-E-V-O. Are we not pins? We are Devo. Monkey men, all in business suits. Teachers and critics all dance the poot. Poot's like a Zappa word. Are we not men? We are Devo. Are we not men? D-E-V-O. Are we not pins? We are Devo. Monkey men. And I repeat that. Oh, no, I got bounced up. Are we not pins? We are Devo. Are we not men? Devo. Then it says, some versions include the following bridge. I got a rhyme that comes in a riddle, Ohio. And Devo came from Ohio. What's round on the end and high in the middle? Ohio. Yeah, see? O ends with the round letters, and then the H-I is the high in the middle. Together now. God made man, but he used a monkey to do it. Apes in the plan. We're all here to prove it. I can walk like an ape, talk like an ape. I can do what a monkey does or do. Can't make it completely what it is. So, it's sort of a suggesting the disservice of believing in Charles Darwin or something like that. Because if you're going to evolve, then you're going to have to devolve. So, if Ion questions Darwinian evolution, then it is Ionic. So, please, someone say something here. Contribute your little words. Go ahead.
Evolving up from little snails, I say it's all just wind in sails.
Yeah, wind and sails, not in and, A-N-D.
A wind and sails?
Yeah, the N by itself means A-N-D.
Hey, Bob.
Yes. Hello.
Hello.
We are.
We are Devo.
Yeah, we are not evil.
That's right. We are Devo. So what do you have to say, Eliza? What thoughts are you getting?
As much as I don't want to ask, but what was your interview with Corbin on so many years ago?
That's Tom Brennan interviewed him. If you want to hear me and Corbin, you go to Dobbstown.com. So we can go over there and let's see, Dobbstown.com. Looking on the timeline, I wonder if I have, I don't think I have any of the Zappa birthday interviews that Corbin would do from Tampa, Florida in 94. That's, see, this Bob, Tom Brennan thing is in August 95, and I'm referring to having done an interview with Corbin in December 21st, 1994, when I was back in New York and he was down in Tampa, Florida. So this is interviews 8 months later. So looking on the timeline, I don't seem to have those Corbin things. I remember Corbin sending me a tape, but it just never, we never put it on the timeline. I got a bunch of dirty tapes from him, sticky gum on it, but we don't have to do that one. We can go to Dobbstown and let's see if these are on the timeline. So that's in 97. I did them in a car on the way to Hawaii, so this would be 2008 May. Yeah, there it is. So here's a Corbin thing. This is May 28th, 2008, on our way to Hawaii, and we'll play this, and you'll hear, I'm in a car, it's midnight, real late, and the person we're staying with is sleeping, so I can't talk on the phone in the apartment, friend of Carolyn's, so I go into a car. And I'm on the phone with them. Get rid of that. That's just the old video popping on. Okay, so that one's up. That one's up. Looks like it should come through.
You want to mute?
Yeah, so it'll be better sound. I'll meet you guys.
All participants are now muted.
So this is a sample of Corbin and I talking.
She has straddled the fence because being an independent media source, she cannot come out and say, oh, this conspiracy theory 9-1-1 is so unpatriotic and so unpopular, but the majority of Americans, they just cannot envision that it was some, I mean, they have their speculations, but they cannot envision that deeply reaching government conspiracy, not to mention that Muhammad Atta, the foreign plane guy, was here in Tampa at a damn strip club a couple days before, being an Islamic fundamentalist or whatever, handing out $100 bills to strippers and getting his plane license. So, all in all, time will tell, but is it more patriotic to say that this was, you know, indeed a good thing for the United States in spite of a few thousand casualties, or was this the path that the administration needed to say, look, you know, let's take out the guy we found in a pit with $500,000 or whatever. Oh, yeah, that guy's the dog insane. Oh, yeah, you know, so, I mean, if you ever had any elbow rubbings with any of the Hussein regime or any of that mess.
Okay, this reminds me, probably we didn't talk After 9-1-1. So we probably did our last thing in 2000 or early 2001.
But, yeah, somewhere in there. Yeah.
Yeah, because we have not talked since then, since 9-1-1, right?
Yeah, we got to keep the 10-year Kabbalistic interval. So.
That's right. Okay, so I've done a lot on the 9-1-1. I know who did it and the layers of it. It was basically. Five Americans, four Germans, and three Saudis. That was the committee. I announced that, within a week after, it happened. I was on the radio.
I'm sure it was very unpopular for you to say something like that.
Well, nobody heard it. I mean, I was on CKLN, and Nelson Thal made me put it up on a website for a while, but then I get knocked out occasionally. I just get lost in the din. Or, you know, I'm glad that nobody noticed it, but I always do things for the record. So in 100 years, people realize someone actually did know what was going on.
Right, right.
I mean, the people, this is the most democratic situation that humans have ever had today. They can communicate, do anything. Let them run around, yell and scream, and express themselves and do their quote art. And I'll just be correct on the sides, on the sidelines where it matters. So I wanted to say that you need to go to fivebody.com and listen to the audio archives. There's a lot of stuff for years, all this stuff. But the main point, which I can reiterate here, is that the meaning of 9-1-1 is that we had entered a post-information society, a post-media society. There's been no communication. You had a perfect president resonant with that fact, a president who didn't communicate, didn't even finish his sentences, didn't read the newspaper, did not engage the Android meme. The fact that after 2000, we'd moved into a post-Android meme fact, which meant no communication among anything for anybody that would amount to anything. The 9-1-1 is the expression of that. The whole communication surveillance network that was supposed to protect the United States did not exist, so a guy could come in with a bunch of cell phones and knock it out. More proof of the post-information in terms of information as surveillance aspect. Of course, since then, everybody's been able to interpret 9-1-1 with all styles of genre of information or perspective, and so that's the people's right to have an orgy of explanation, all of it leading to nowhere.
In a post-media information age, what is it? They don't want to know. It's commercially not viable. If people are just want to look the other way, as long as they have their SUVs or their now $4 gas prices and, you know, mortgage foreclosure, you know, these are all side effects, spinoffs of
post-information. And you could say that in the post-information 90s, the Android meme emphasized software ecstasy. That was the Internet. After 2000, the Android meme, having no money, emphasized in an afterimage the hardware versions of ecstasy, and that was getting your own home. Both the dot-com and the home world, mortgage world, collapsed because there was nothing there since 1990. There's nothing there now. The people are trying to survive in a post-information society. They have all kinds of eccentric ways of dealing with it. Some blogosphere and on the media, on the Internet, day in, day out, typing, like my friend Bucky, the ambassador for the Republic of the State of Texas that I met when I was in London a month or so ago, which is a side effect. I want to tell you, as a Zappa fan, you ever read Ben Watson's book, Native Dialectics of Poodle Play?
I am very familiar with it, but I have not read it from cover to cover. I have read chapters of it.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's a great book. Well, I met up with Ben for the first time. He was a host of a lot of what I did over there. I was on a show. You can hear it on the Internet and the archives, the Five-Bodied, in the Being Five-Bodied section, which is the chat line, not the audio archives, though it might be in there too. Anyways, Ben and I was on his radio show for 3 hours. We had a great time. He learned a lot. He hasn't stopped talking about me. We have a revolution in the Zapper world. And you can look at actually the transcripts of his commentary on me after I showed up. So the point is the Zapper world has really been mutated by my intervention. And another guy, Simon Prentice, the certified Zappa translator into Japanese lyrics and all that. He works with Paul McCartney and Yoko Ono. We had a great summit meeting. He's out on the radio show with me and Ben, plus Gamma, an ancient Zappa fan who was provided his home, which he calls the Martian Embassy, at 22 us in the Crescent. So I just wanted a side thing. A lot of great new things happen in the Zappa world you might want to tap back into.
Okay.
And, okay, so I went off on that in London. Bucky, he's a guy on the internet 24/7, getting emails, sending out emails, trying to find pattern recognition, scanning everything. There's people like him, then there's people like, your mother, who's just running around doing nothing if she's still alive, right? She's just playing tennis or whatever she does.
She's a painter. She is a very gifted painter, and she's a very strong spirit. She's been through quite a bit, with grand juries, mob investigation, and all kinds of innuendo. And
okay, Gene, we'll bring Gene in here. Unmute people.
All participants are now unmuted.
Gene.
Bucky, I haven't heard of that in a while.
Yeah, now, just don't say anything for a minute, Corbin. I just want to give a setting there. I have a pretty good memory of who I interact with. So I had not talked to Corbin in 8 years. So here we were talking. And Corbin is spewing a lot of stuff out because he doesn't have someone like me to talk to often, so he had to get a lot off his chest. So, Gene, I think you'd find it interesting. And then you get to hear me describing my position, which I still say pre-ion. As I thought about it, you have to realize how marginal Corbin lived back then. I don't know what he's doing right now. He seems to be functioning something. But here I am talking to this guy who got in touch with me, probably Jerry told him. So I get on the, I make a point of getting out in the car, 2 a.m, and talking to Corbin. And we record it, and none of us knew what, within a year, I'd be fucking in another world with Ion. See, this is a good sample of me walking around, talking to homeless people on the street, and laying out my best thoughts, and which we're going to create Ion. This is part of what the chart means, Gene. Are you getting the point I'm making here?
Yeah, you're unknowing knowing the.
I mean, here's Corbin.
He tried to stay tuned in to some selected characters, and it's not.
That's a one way. It's like whoever wants to talk to me, I'll talk to them, and
yeah.
Corbin wanted to talk.
So that was August 2008, you had the interview with him?
No, that's May 28th, 2008. It was on that day, I'm pretty sure, that James Martinez Curtis and I went to Galena's home backyard, and that's when James channeled Walter Boward for like 5 hours. And so Galena and I interviewed Walter, and then I go home, get home in the evening, James drives me home, and on the way home, James is in the car going down the LA highways, and he says, oh, Walter's speaking again. And he says, they're going to be making paintings of you and cartoons of you in 100 years. That's what he's saying to me, Bob, says James Martinez. And this is when we are on the radio, and these are the last three shows with that John Statmiller guy, because he's going to chew us out. That might even happen on May 28th. Look up the timeline. May 28th, June 4th, June 11th. We're kicked off that network. And then I looked at the timeline, because that's the day I got death threats from Statmiller. It's an auspicious date, May 28th. And coming home, Boward says there would be some reason why they'll be looking at me 100 years. And then one thing happens another, and then I'm in a car out on the Brentwood area near OJ's house talking to Corbin, who I haven't talked to in many years, and Corbin is trying to find out what I know about 911. And so I lay out my points. Let me just see the timeline. Where is the timeline? And see if we have here.
You got a number of May 26th and 2/28th and 29th and 30th. You did a Radio Alchemy with Eben, right in that.
Right. Yeah, I probably went to her studio. So Corbin is May 26th, May 28th, 2 days, two times I'm talking to Corbin. Yeah, and what was I was looking up? Now I just did Chad on May 19th. See, we flew out on May 20th or 21st, and I give this awesome talk at Spontos Gallery on May 22nd. So I'm in L.A. for like 2 weeks, and I'm just blasting all over the place. And it's pretty good conversation with Corbin because I'll say what I'm thinking that day. But a lot happened on that day. And
well, Bob, you were saying that James channeled Boert.
Yeah. Oh, and guess what? Yesterday, well, this show starts on Saturday, May 14th. I knew it. We had to bring this up at some point. This is Boert's birthday. May 14th was Walter Boert's birthday.
That's interesting.
is that Alyssa laughing, right?
The first thing I ever heard about Bob was that he'll talk to anybody.
Right. And I'll put out my best stuff to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we'll get them. Yeah, exactly.
I don't hold back. I just lay it out. And I don't know what Corbin's understand. What, Alyssa? What are you saying?
This is Gene again. Let's get back to Corbin now.
No, wait a minute. What I want to say is that this is... You have to realize, like, Corbin's mad at about what I said about him last night. I'm telling Corbin what my monkey brain is thinking. This guy's a loser. He becomes a junkie in the fucking Venice Boardwalk area. He has a lot of abilities and he can't fucking get focused. And ends up, you know, being half arrested in Florida. And that's when he talked to his girlfriend. So I'm saying I'm not impressed with Corbin's ridiculous lifestyle. Now, I'm judging him, all right? Well, I accept my judgments. It's what the brain's doing. I still will talk to Corbin. I still give him my best stuff. But I'm just telling you what the private judging, just like your people are listening now and judging me with their monkey brain, which is just socially conditioned impressions of things, right, based on your bias. And so Corbin can get all upset about what I said, but I'm just telling you what my monkey brain says about him. And so, you know,
and you know where he's coming from.
So while we were listening to this Corbin thing, you know, last 10 minutes, I was, you know, in the bathroom, sitting there on the can and thinking about this. And I said, look at that. I'm fucking talking to Corbin in a fucking car on a cell phone, and luckily I'm taping it. And what is this? 8 years later, This is pretty close. This is May fucking 15th. It's the 8th anniversary of this.
It is like 8 years.
All relevant.
And I'm still talking. Look, you have to realize, I'm talking to Corbin 2008. Okay, Corbin's someone I talk to every 5-8 years, bump into him, and we talk. And then I'm thinking, holy shit, Corbin is here. In Irondom, that fucking homeless guy who gets to talk to me once every 5 years is here today. That's what I was marveling at, that Corbin made it to Irondom.
He did, just like Dave Neufeld did, so did Corbin.
Yeah. Jerry Fialka didn't make it. Tom Brennan didn't make it.
Where's Jerry? What's up with him? Is he still alive?
It's fun to hear. I like to hear Corbin's interpretation of Jerry. Go ahead. Geez, you're not. It's amazing, Corbin. He must have either fallen asleep, died, because I didn't have him unmuted.
Well, I'm listening. You told me to be quiet. You told me to be quiet for a minute.
Oh, that's very nice. Tell the people about Jerry Fialka. Give your take on him.
Well, this is very hard. Okay. All right. Let me correct you on one thing, where you said that we hadn't spoken in 8 years. If you recall, we did, I think it's four interviews, through the FM, community radio station down in Tampa. That would be 93, 95.
In 94. '94.
When Phil passed away, we did that. That was 96 or so.
Oh, Phil passed away the day they invaded Iraq, in March 21st, 2003 is when Phil died.
Whatever. We did a thing for Phil, and
right.
We, you know, just a
okay,
little
trip. So that's, I forgot about
and
that.
Then,
so that's 5 years.
Then,
that's a 5 year gap, Corbin, of 2003 to 2008.
Okay, that's fine, but in between that, I would call you, especially when you were living in New York, and I would get an answering machine, or I would talk to your housemate or your adopted son. I guess he was your adopted son. That's what Jerry told me. Now, you asked me what to make of Jerry. Jerry, he first of all claims he's dyslexic and he doesn't read. Now, if that was the case, how could he deal with a computer and, Jerry is into hosting, these little events that have, he's not interested, supposedly, in money. And he'll even do this little thing where they have Beyond Baroque now that Bob used to speak at before it became Beyond Baroque for the Finnegan's Wake Club. And to hear Bob do an hour lecture of Finnegan's Wake is like listening to a school professor because his knowledge is so deep and vast of it, and it's been such an influence on his life and his dynamic. And it's part of what brought Ion out of the woodwork. Now, you got to keep in mind, I was already, Ion was, he can admit it or not, Ion had already started making his appearance, to me, right around 85. And I was becoming aware of Ion Dumb. And Jerry Fialko, the best way to describe him is he wants to play this thing where he wants you to express yourself in your way, but he won't give you any feedback on it. And he'll say very good or very bad, but he has a very flaky way of doing it. I've done my best to keep Jerry like in a friendly sort of mood, but he hates Ion. He can't stand that shit, and he several times tried to get me to down Ion and Bob. And there's obviously been a falling out major between Bob, because Bob, Carolyn, and Bob and Carolyn and Jerry were housemates for approximately 2 years. At that time, they were making LSD and using it or selling it or whatever was going on. And that's Jerry's story, and that's the way he tells it. And now, regardless, that's. I mean, Bob, how true is that?
That no, we only stayed at Jerry's from February 15th, 1993. Carolyn stayed till June, then had to go to New York and learn the mirror technique. And then
right.
The guy who taught her died in August, 93. So I stayed
right.
At Jerry's through June and July, 1993. But then he got involved with the French girl. Do you remember the French girl? What was her name?
Yeah, I remember, yes.
So from, well, all those 4 or 5 months I was at Jerry's from February till July, he would be talking to her late at night a lot, and she was coming over. So Jerry said I could not stay there. Carolyn had gone back to New York, and I was going to eventually go to New York, but I was still staying in L.A., and I could not stay there because his girlfriend-to-be, they didn't really know each other, just a lot of phone buddies. So when she came, I had to move to another guy's place over in Santa Monica, David Daniels' place, and he was a very wealthy guy from Toronto who we knew in Toronto. His father was a construction, built big apartments. So I stayed with David Daniels for a few weeks, the end of July into August. And Jerry came over one night, and he was crying because the girl left him. He fucking worked this out for 6 months. Yeah, 6 months to a year, and then she crashes with him for a few weeks, and then finds some other guy and crashes with him. So totally used Jerry. And
of course.
I'm commiserating with Jerry about this, and then a couple of days later, Walter Fishman, the inventor of Mir, died. So then Carolyn wanted me to come to New York, and so I left David Daniels and left Jerry. I probably could have moved back into Jerry's place, but we never lived with him for 2 years. We didn't make LSD or anything like that.
All right. So basically, you're saying his story of you guys tripping and using LSD and being at his house, and that you're saying that's completely false.
Yeah, I never thought Jerry did LSD. He did a lot of, he told me he regretted that he used so much marijuana in college. Dulled his memories.
When we did the tribute to Wild Man Fisher, that was the last performance art piece I did with him, which turned out extremely well. He said, one of the audience members asked him, he said, have you tried LSD? And he goes, most definitely. She asked
He would have done it. He would have done it in the 70s in college, but I never thought of him doing it when I was with him from 88. You know, I met him in 88 on the phone when he worked
with
Frank.
Well, he turns up and down. That's what you, Carolyn, and him were totally into, and that he had done it several times with you and Carolyn.
Well, that's fucking nuts. I never heard him say that. That is nuts.
We should
give him a call. Let's call Jerry and get him in on this debate on the value of Jerry Fialka. That's the theme, Jerry. We're discussing the value of your fucking life. And we have the world expert on your life, Corbin, here. See how much he put up with that.
I'm not an expert on his life, no. I'm saying that the last time I saw him visually, he had grown a very thick gray beard. His hair is ghost white now and very long, and he looked like Moses. I mean, literally. Looked like Moses. I almost didn't recognize him. And Susie, and this is how ironic life is. Susie is his love of his life, sort of. I guess they tolerate each other like any relationship. It's all a compromise. And, it's not always perfect, but it's, you know, basically. But anyway, Jerry hated cigarette smoke. Hated it. Could not stand cigarette smoke. He was so offended he'd tell people on the boardwalk, put that out and walk away from me and whatnot out in the free air. And people would say, fuck you. This is a goddamn boardwalk. I'll smoke a cigarette if I want to. You move. And that's how twisted up he is. But anyway, getting back to it, he would fall in love with Susie, who smoked cigarettes. Susie Williams smoked cigarettes. And she's like, I know, I have to sneak away and go outside to smoke a cigarette. And she's not a heavy smoker or a hefty smoker. And that's her thing. And Jerry hated cigarettes. And, of course, marijuana, I've smoked marijuana with you, Bob, myself, in person. You and I and Phil and Jerry have all smoked the Bob pipe for the...
I never smoked marijuana in...
Yes,
decades.
You did, Bob, with me at my apartment. This was back in 95,
96. Yes, 95, 96. I probably didn't inhale. I probably faked it.
All right. You did inhale. Okay, that's
great. We don't judge, Bob. We won't judge you. We still love you.
No, no, I don't about it. I'm telling you, I would not smoke marijuana. I didn't like it. And I would never put my lips on fucking on a joint that someone else, especially Corbin, had his lips on.
No, it was a pipe. It was a pipe. It was a pipe.
Touch, no lips of mine are going to touch anybody else's lips through a pipe.
You went first. You made it clear that you were going first.
I went first, But did my behavior change? I didn't do nothing. Nothing fucking happened to me.
Yes, I have a tape of the session. If I can produce it, it's a gem. That needs to be in the Dobstown archive, definitely. And
Was that in the Cadillac Hotel? Is it called the Cadillac Hotel?
No, I don't think so.
It's the hotel that you stayed in. They're on the beach.
Yes, I did.
Up in your room. Yeah.
Yes,
that's where
I did.
We taped it.
But no. Remember, I had that little place that was on Westminster Avenue between Main and Pacific, two blocks from the beach. It was a very small bachelor pad, and it had a funky little bunk bed on top. Remember that?
No,
it was
I don't recall being in your.
Okay, you don't remember the surroundings, okay, but that's where it was. It was not the Cadillac Hotel because they do not allow visitors in there.
Hey, when I met with you in, with Jermaine, in 2011, you lived down off of the intersection of Venice and Lincoln. You're not talking about that place.
No.
Okay, so the only other time I was with you inside a building was either at Jerry's or at the Cadillac Hotel, and you got out your flute and we recorded something there with the flute, right?
No, it was at my old bachelor pad, 16 Westminster Street, which is right there next to what they call Dog Shit Park. It's a big red brick building. It's a block from Windward Square, Windward Circle. And basically, I call it Dog Shit Park because everybody goes there to walk their dogs, and that nobody picks up their poop, their dogs.
I just want to check. We have some from Athens, Georgia. Who's that? That's a new number. Would you like to say something?
Well, hey, y'all, how you doing?
What's your name? Oh, is that hey, it's Ion. Ion is here. Whoa! Are you people? Are you ready for this?
No.
Is that really Ion?
That's Ion.
They're in the quintessential.
His voice is.
He's got a lousy phone.
Bubble.
He's got a lousy phone for some reason.
Quintessential bubble place.
Quintessential bubble place.
Oh, it's Ion. Hello, lover.
Hey, you having fun yet?
Yeah.
Always.
It is symptomatic that we go from, I was making that point. Now look at the poetry of this. I'm talking to nobody Corbin in 2008, and a few months later I'm going to be talking to Ion. We just did it in a microcosm. We're fucking listening to Corbin go on about a key part of our relationship, which is Jerry Fiolka, and it flips into Ion. There it is, the metaphor.
Ta-da, may they speak till we get there.
Yeah, we get there. So can you
good to hear you.
Can you speak a little louder as much as possible, Ion? Because it is pretty faint.
Is that better? See the world.
Yes, but it's not perfect.
So well, we're sorry. The worlds are colliding, and that's what happens.
The worlds are colliding.
Always dramatic. Note this: the dramatic statements. The worlds are colliding.
You just found 1,300 new Earths just now.
We what?
You just found
1,300
new Earths.
Wow.
All in the news. It's all the news that is news. Just ask President Trump. He'll tell you all about it.
Did you say ex-President Trump? Oh, ask President Trump.
Yeah.
Ian, are you talking to us from this world?
Well, this is the one that's bumping into all the others, yes. It's a bang.
Okay, Ion. What the fuck did Prince do? Did Prince fake his death?
He's not dead.
Nice. Awesome. I figured.
Who's that other voice?
That's Nate.
Oh, good. Well, come on, people. Start talking to Ion.
Yeah.
We have questions now. Bob, are they speaking any better? You never know how that goes. You just have to see how it all flies and the girl flies and the daughter flies. The spider flies. Spider flies and Grammy.
It's like JW's been, or Ion's been out there traveling for a month, and he's back, and he's disoriented, and he's it's hard for us to connect with him.
Well, that's been the issue all along. They don't ask good questions. You can't find out nothing. Don't know nothing.
That's right. Can't find out nothing.
Change that all around. Everybody's still wondering if St. Germain had a bowel movement or not.
Yeah, that's it. My policy of talking to any human that I talk to or that meets me, the disservice of that, all these fucking no good idiots that I've tolerated talking to are now here and they haven't got a brain fucking question in their head. We can't even put Corbin on. Corbin will just fucking insult Ion.
I have something to say.
Flatulence of the brain.
Yeah,
well, I'm glad to have you back.
Nice to be had, Bob.
You still got the old lines. There are a few lines that you keep repeating.
Yeah, it's a loop. See, it's in a loop. We were triangulation and trigonometry. It's hard as trigonometry, and that's what happens. Just get it all going, and then it all comes into a frequency that keeps recycling back to where you were. Never where you are.
Frequency! Okay, so the bird sounds have changed, correct?
You're not reaching this world. Try it again.
I've been noticing the bird sounds around me changing. They sound different.
They are. Yes, they are.
And then opal is a hydrated amorphous form of silica. And that came on my radar recently. Because of its amorphous character, it is classed as a mineraloid, unlike crystalline forms of silica, which are classed as mineral.
Well, right now you're still counting the Omer. Do you know what the Omer is?
No.
Google it.
Okay.
O-M-E-R. You're going to do that for 49 days, and you're not through.
Okay.
Do you understand?
I can't look it up on the internet right now, but I understand.
Good. Good. Good.
Thank you.
Be sure you blow the chauffeur first.
What?
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
No,
Yeah, you have to blow the chauffeur first.
Yeah, I'm driving right now, you guys, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, he meant Nate. He meant Nate. Okay, that makes sense.
Sit, don't swallow.
Did he say don't floss?
Oh.
Swallow. Don't swallow.
Oh, so if we had any concern that this wasn't Ion, now we know.
Yeah. He's with us all. Hey, you know what? Ion. Can you tell me about what I was seeing when I was standing, looking out our back window at the sunset and focusing... And, like, I saw some fractal stuff in the light that I actually could zero in on. Can you tell me more about what I was looking at?
It was a star going nova through a slit. You were looking through the slit. It was a crack through the keyhole.
I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time hearing you, but I'll listen back to the report.
He said it was a star. It was a slit. It was a crack through the keyhole.
Oh, excellent.
A door.
Yes, that makes perfect sense.
Nova. knowing Nova.
I loved it. And now I can, Nova. Like, look, I can find it. Yeah. Great. Someone else
well,
can
that's
go.
Been, but that was
but this
fun.
Is great, to, great to talk. I just feel
so
like
what
I can't hear
topic?
You well enough to have a good conversation.
Well, to give it a go, Nate. Don't get too fucked up about it. What was your topic, Nate?
I just want to hear the answer.
Trying to get the
yeah, what were your
Zion
questions?
Saying?
Couldn't get the rages on, so then he was trying to see. And he was looking through a piece of a crack hole, and he saw a star going supernova, and it made a little flashy flash, and he thought he'd done went on and seen something. He didn't know what he was looking because he was looking at the sunset. Then he was going to believe us or his lying eyes. And he told him what it was, and then he couldn't hear it. So it's pretty atypical to any other answer we've ever given, isn't it, Bob?
Yeah. What is the first thing you were saying? What were you talking about right there?
That Nate saw a star going supernova.
Oh, did he? Does it, Nate agree with that?
Yes.
A slip of it. Just a tiny little bit of it. Not a bunch of it. He was just looking through a crack.
Looking through a crack.
Yeah.
And now, Ion, do you have to be careful how you describe what Prince did? That's confidential for the moment?
No, we don't. We can't go into it except there may become an heir. There may become an heir.
H-E-I-R, Ion?
H-E-I-R, yeah.
All right. That's what I'm talking about.
Ion, say more about Prince calling himself Symbol.
Look at what the symbol was. It's on Carolyn's wall.
Yeah, he actually wasn't calling himself Symbol as much as the artist formerly known as Prince was all you could call him, and he wanted to have his name be just something visual.
Well, his symbol is what he was trying to say.
Yeah, and did you hear what he said? Didn't he just say what's on Carolyn's wall?
Yes. It is.
Yeah, that's right to my right there. That's the symbols we got from Chad.
Yeah.
Very important.
So what does that symbol represent?
Where he went.
They are marker points for types of portal traveling.
Good. Where he went to.
Yeah, where I went to.
Oh, great.
You use those.
That's going to be fun to look up.
So that means that Prince, he's telling you, my new name is the means of how I travel, which is symbols, and all symbols have no semantic meaning. That's later Bookman.
I'm only
symbols were just markings of where you were and to help you get back. And so Prince is telling you, I'm called Symbol now, and it's Bob's chart to show you that I went to other worlds. That's what he's saying.
I'm only known by where I am.
Right.
I'm only known by where I am.
That means symbols are also frequencies.
The same way with the castles. The same way with the castles. They only are because of where they are.
Right. Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
Ion, in the black hole quantum computing recording, you mentioned, you sort of slip out there, that there's four kingdoms.
Yes, there are.
Please name the fourth kingdom.
Nope. Not going to do it.
Nope.
Is there a rock I should turn over so I can unearth it myself?
Chad, ask it one more time.
You've gotten this far down the rabbit hole, so what if we already told you and you haven't found it yet, maybe? But the better question is what's on the other side of the vault in his Paisley Prada?
Whose product, Chad?
Paisley's Prince's record label.
Paisley Park.
Okay,
Studio.
Okay, but Chad, you just asked a question about Prince. What did you say so I can note it?
I didn't. It wasn't about Prince. It was about the four kingdoms.
Oh, yeah. Where'd you get that from?
The quantum computing recording you did with Ion.
Oh, okay. All right. You know that more than I do, yeah. So, let's see, Chad. Let's go into the Romeo section, Ion, the TV show. We did a whole talk about it. You probably know about it many hours ago. It is so literally describing Chad, me, Carolyn, and Iondom. And we have you as the young dope guy who's taking over the general's trade. Now, you probably disagree. Who would you say you are in the Romeo section?
We would probably be more the overseer. Have you gotten to that part yet?
You mean the general?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, yeah, we accept that. We call that Worcester.
General Woo-Woo.
Yeah.
General
As always.
We now have Ion's nickname, General Woo-Woo. I declare that, put it into the minutes of the meeting, Ion is now for Insider General Woo-Woo.
Yeah. JW, more like GW.
You call it Paul Pee-Pee.
I heard Paul Paul Pee Pee. What was the poll said?
Paul Pee Pee.
What's that?
That's what you used to call us.
Oh, I used to call you that? Paul Paul Pee Pee?
Wasn't that what Corbin used to call Ion?
Maybe.
Only with the help of Bob, because he's never made a sentence without Bob before.
Good point. You hear that, Corbin? You've never made a sentence without me. Okay, we got my name's Ion's new nickname.
GW?
What about who's JW
General
in the TV
Woo?
Show?
No,
Ion is
General
Woo
Woo.
Okay, we have...
GW is an even shorter nickname.
JW.
GW, as in General. Wake up.
Okay, all right.
Go take some drops.
Yeah. So who is JW in the TV series,
There's Al.
There's Al.
Al speaks. I'm Al.
Yeah, I got that.
Yeah.
So, Ion, who's JW? We have him down as Fred, whatever his name is, the DEA agent, trying to bust Matthew Hurtado.
He would be your dope man.
You mean the Hong Kong, the young guy that's taken over?
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense. He comes from General Wu. Yeah, he's working for General Wu. So, Chad, we will stick to our definitions. This is you know how Phoenix Wake has the fourth ring, the non-physical part of Phoenix Wake that Joyce wasn't aware about? We're getting the non-physical part of the TV show, which is not necessarily for public consumption. You know what I mean?
Right. We should ask them about the String of Pearls. Is the String of Pearls the Ring of Fire?
What'd you say?
Couldn't hear that answer.
It can represent it, but no.
Did one of the JWs have an influence on the script?
Likely.
Ion. Likely. Are they showing they're showing the power of the Chinese dope trade? Is that a metaphor for the mountain or for the Chinese owning of America over the last couple hundred years? Is that
both.
What they're...
They already said yes.
It's both. So you see, Chad, that's what I projected into it, and you see how important the TV show is. We got Ion confirming it, right?
Right. A few weeks back...
In order to have a successful resurrection, someone must die.
Why is that?
Well, because you can't resurrect something that's not already dead.
Oh. Okay.
So, I hear you.
Ion,